Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf kuf tes, and we're starting at the Mishnah, at the top of the Yom. Zuk the Mishnah. Hamekabel soda mecha veiroi lishonim mu otois. A person who accepts a field from his chaver. Whenever we have that term, hamekabel, you remember the Rashi and the Gemara at the beginning of the Perek says, sometimes we're talking about arisus, sometimes we're talking about chakirus. And Rashi says over here, we're talking about a chakirus situation. What's a chakira situation? A person rents out, leases out his property for 7 years. When it says lishon muwatis, it means less than 7 years. What's so important about less than 7 years? It explains the Mishnah. Lo yizra ena pishta. If it was less than 7 years, you should not go and plant flax, because, explains Rashi, flax has a tendency to be makhish ba'oretz harbe. It depletes the land of its minerals and its nutrients. And when does the land eventually rejuvenate and get back those minerals and nutrients? After a period of 7 years. That is one of the great wonders of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how these things work. But if you go and plant flax, it saps the ground of all of those nutrients. 7 years' time, it returns. That's why, if you are leasing the land for 7 years or less, or less than 7 years, lo yizra ena pishtan, the ainli bekoiris shikma. Shikma is a sycamore tree, which is a non-fruit-bearing tree. However, it's a very strong type of tree where periodically people cut down branches or parts of the tree for koros, to use for beams. So if you have leased out this property for less than 7 years, don't go and plant pishtan, and you do not receive as part of your wage or as part of your chelik, you don't get the kodosh shikma, those parts of the tree. And the reason is, explains Rashi, because a shikma tree, a sycamore tree, only produces the koros, that great thickness to be able to make beams, at least after 7 years. And that's why the Mishnah continues, Kibla Mimenu, the Zayin Shavanin. If, however, you did take it for 7 years or more, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, then what you can do is Shon Rishoyna Yisra'ena Pishton. You cannot go and plant flax every year, but the first year you can go and plant flax, because by the time you give it back, it's going to be 7 years later, then the land has been able to rejuvenate and take back those minerals and nutrients. So then the first year you can go and plant Pishton, but not after that. The Yeshla B'Kodesh Shikman, then you can go and take the Kodesh Shikman, in other words, the farmer that's working the field, that leased it for the next 7, 8 years, he's allowed to take Kodesh Shikman, but only in the first year, because by the time 7 years pass, it will all be replenished. So that's the halacha of the Mishnah. Rashi says it's only talking about a Chakiris farmer, because it was talking about a Kablonis farmer. What difference does it make? After all, the landowner and the lessee split everything, even Stephen. And so therefore, you wouldn't have this halacha l'mush l'gabi the Kodesh Shikma, because both of them go and share the mechza l'shvish v'raviyah. But if you happen to be a choiker and you're just paying your monthly or annual lease payments, so then you have certain restrictions as to what you can use the land for, and as well as how much produce you're going to receive from the land. More is going to explain more. Zok to you more. Omer Abai. B'kodesh shikma ein loy, b'shevach shikma yesh loy. He does not get the kodesh shikma. Kodesh shikma is the ability to be able to go and cut down the tree and use it, or cut down all the branches and use them for purposes of making beams, for instance, for construction. So that he doesn't get if it's less than 7 years, like we learned in our Mishnah. But shvach shikma yesh loy, but he's entitled to get shvach shikma. So what means shvach shikma? Says Rashi, the Mushal, at the end of 6 years, right, within the ratio of the Mishnah, it wasn't 7 years. So it's within 6 years, he wasn't able to go and cut down the tree and cut down any of the branches for the Kodesh Shikma, because they don't replenish until 7 years. However, during that 6 year period that he was there, the tree, Baruch Hashem, has grown, and it's much heavier and fatter than it was previously. So when he leaves, he has a right to go and share in that growth. Rashi explains, because just like when a person leases a farm, then he shares, of course, and he's going to go and take the peiros, the produce of a non-fruit-bearing tree, like a sycamore tree, is the fact that it gets bigger and heavier and sturdier and stronger and all the rest. And therefore, although he's not allowed to cut it because he only took it for less than 7 years, but nevertheless, what he's allowed to do is get the benefit of that shvach shikma. So therefore, the landowner, when he gets the property back, he would have to go and figure out, I guess he'd go to the tree appraisal society, and he asked them, how much is the tree worth 6 years ago? How much is the tree worth now? It's grown that period of time, and he'd be able to go and get that growth, because after all, it was his tree for all these years. He didn't cut it down. He was a nice guy. Therefore, he's entitled to go and get the improvement and the fact that the tree has grown more than it was previously.
The renter gets that.
The renter, exactly. The renter gets it. For Rava Omar, afilu b'shvach shikma nami einloi. Says Rava, no, he doesn't even get in the shvach shikma, because Rava doesn't consider this to be peiros. He considers this to be the keren, to be the land itself, the tree itself. And therefore, whatever he had to pay lease payments is fine and good. In the end of the lease payments, the time is over, he leaves. He's, of course, allowed to take the peiros, which are the real fruits. However, if you have a non-fruit-bearing tree, then he gets no benefit from that. It's not considered to be peira. It's considered to be karna. Like the Gemara, we'll get into that a little bit further down. Zok the Gemara, right, the meisvei. Let me ask you a question. Our situation, a person was makabel a field for the 5, 6, 7 years, and now it's about time for him to leave. Shamin loy, we now appraise the value of something. We don't know what that something is yet, but that's all it says in the price is shamin loy. So my love, shamin loy b'shvach shikma. Are we talking about the very case that we're talking about, that's the shikma tree, that although we say koyde shikma eloi, shvach shikma yeshloi, and that's the reason why when he leaves, we have to do a final accounting. Part of the final accounting is having an appraisal of the sycamore trees. How much did they grow over the past 5, 6, 7 years? We couldn't cut them down, but he's entitled to get the shvach, so shamalai. Is a chashtarka raya to abaya? Is a chakasha on Rava? Any type of greens or vegetables or beets that are growing in the ground, we're going to evaluate and appraise what that value is, and that's what we're going to go and give to the lessee. After all, he was the one that planted all of these greens and vegetables and what have you, and so therefore he deserves to get the benefit of his work, and therefore when he's leaving now, figure out how much it's worth and give it to him. Freitimura. What do you have to do an appraisal? Let him just go and harvest it and take it home with him. After all, you're right, he planted and he worked in the field. So now that, Baruch Hashem, we have produce there, let him harvest it and take it. It's still a little bit premature. The Yom HaDeShuk is going to be another 3-4 weeks from now. If he's going to go and cut all this Yarka Vasilka when he leaves, it's just going to rot, it's going to go bad. And so therefore, we're going to assess how much it is, give him the benefit of that, and the landowner will take the property back. He'll hire an oris, or he'll do it himself. He'll harvest everything, and he'll take it to Yom HaDeShuk. But in the meantime, the lessee, the person that rented, the renter, will get the benefit out of the shvach shikma. Shikma is not real peiros. Shikma is a non-fruit-bearing tree. So could be Rav is right. He doesn't get anything, the shvach shikma. And this shomen loy that we're talking about is talking about real produce. There, of course, he's entitled to get that. It's Tarshima. Let's bring another raya to Abaye, Kasha, and Rava. And Mekabel, son of Mechaveh, Regia, Shvias. It's now Shemitah year. Shomen loy. Since it's Shemitah year, the property is going to go back somewhere. So we're going to do an appraisal. So the Gemara stops in mid-sentence and says, Shvias? Mikamavka ara? This whole concept of lands going back to the original owners, this is not, it's not a Shemitah, that's a Yoival concept. Says Yimor, you're right. Let's immediately amend the Brayso. Very simple. Take out Shvias, put it Yoival, Zayagit. Freitimor Vakati, Yoival Mimavka, Kablonis, Letzmises Omerachmanim. That the properties go back to the original owners in Shemitah year, that's only in terms of the landowners, but not in terms of the renters or the lessees. Because the Torah says that otherwise, if it wouldn't be for Yovel year, it's hard, the Torah says, Va'oretz loisimocher litzmisus kili ha'oret. that in the parsha that deals with the Indian of Yovel, it says, don't sell it permanently, but rather, anytime you sell a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, it's only going to be until Yovel year, it's going to go back. So when is there a dictate that in Yovel year goes back? Only those properties which is Latzmisus. Latzmisus means that otherwise, it was sold permanently. But if you happen to be Bekablonis, by definition, it's not permanent. The whole Indian of leasing a piece of land is, you lease it for 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever the term of the lease is.
Earlier, 60 or 60 lease is not affected by Yovel.
Exactly. And therefore, there's no reason why this person has to leave. We started off the Braisa, Makabel, Sodom, Mechaber, Makabel is a Choyker or an Oris, the Gia Yoivo, Shaman Loi, listen to their Shaman Loi, let him continue working the field for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, until the end of the term of the lease.
He has to keep Yovel and he has to keep Shmita?
Yes, he has to keep it, yes, 100%. They will, of course,
factor into the price.
Well, they will make an adjustment for Shmita and for Yoivel, since he can't do any work, presumably he doesn't pay a nickel during that year, because he can't plant and he can't harvest, he can't do anything. Ela Ema, Suzuki Mori, you're right. To take away, we already did one amendment, so let's do a second amendment. We changed Shvius to Yovel, let's change now Hamakabel to Halekeach. Ela Ema Halekeach, Sodom Echaveh, right? Person who bought a Sodom from his friend, Vigir Yovel, and now Yovel comes, and he has to return the field to the original owner. Shamaloi, now we do a Shuma. Aha. So what's the assumption? The Shuma is on the sycamore trees. See how much the purchaser, when he bought it, how it has improved during that period of time that he owned it. Now it goes back to the original owner. Okay, fine, it goes back to the original owner, but he has to go and pay him for the improvement in that tree. Isn't that a raya vaita to abaya, akasha on rava? Vachitayman, maybe you're going to give me the same teretz. Hachanami shaman loy biyarka besilka. We're not talking about appraising the value of the trees, but rather the price of the vegetables and the beets which are still in the ground. Silka biyarka biyovel hefkeru. Silka biyarka in the ground during yovel year has no value because there's no market. You're not allowed to go and sell silka biyarka. It's all hefker. That being the case, the shomaloi obviously could not go on the silka biyarka. L'choyre must go el lav on the shvach shikma. Is the charaya to abaya kasha on rava? Abaye, of course, could now throw up his hand and say, "Ah, oh, thee for victory, I have won." However, Abaye is not going to do that. Abaye has intellectual honesty, and therefore, Tirgma Abaye, Libe de Rava, Abaye says, "I'm going to fend for Rava Shita, Shani Hasan Neimakrot in the Pasuk, V'yotze Mimkar Bayis." What does that mean? V'yotze Mimkar Bayis. If you have the Torah or Hashalom. Etc. Uses the expression v'yotze mimkar bayis. So what do I learn from that? Memkar is choizer. Shvach einoi choizer is a special din when it comes to yovel year, that even though the mimkar bayis, meaning the fact that there was a sale of a home within the last 50 years before yovel, that's all choizer, v'yotze mimkar bayis. And it's choizer v'yovel. Yeah, yeah. But shvach, that's not mimkar bayis. That's shvach, that's something, an improvement in the strength and the breadth and the width of this tree. That is already in a choizer. That stays with the original purchaser. So the person who bought a piece of property between yovel and yovel, and now yovel happens, and now he has to give the property back to the original owner, but the improvements that he made, those he's entitled to go and retain for himself. Because that's not mimkar bayis, that's shvach that he added to the original bayis, or in this case, to the original sycamore trees. So therefore, special din in yovel, says Abaye, aliba de Rava. There, even Rava would agree to me that the original owner, not the original owner, but the person that bought it, and now is giving the property back to the original owner that he's entitled to get, shvach. Pray to more of enigma minei. Why, taka, don't we learn that as a binyan av? And say, just like over there, we say that then, that the lokeach gets the shvach. So say over here by the mekabel, the person that took it b'chakirus, let him also get the benefit of the shvach. These are two different situations. The case of the yoivel, the sale was an absolute real sale. the person who owned the property sold it to the purchaser, and the purchaser would have kept it forever and ever, except that the Yoivel intervened, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, Afkata de Malka. Afkata de Malka means the Kaddish Baruch Hu has confiscated the property from the purchaser and given it back to the original mocher, to the original owner. But had it not been for that, this was a full-fledged sale. Since a full-fledged sale, whatever investment, whatever time and effort that the person who bought the property put into improving, for instance, the sycamore trees, so he's entitled to get that back at the end of the Yovel, when it comes to Yovel year, because it was a bona fide sale. However, in the case of our Mishnah, we're not talking about a sale, we're talking about
a lease.
A lease that never belonged to him. I mean, he was able to use and produce and whatever, but when it comes to the lease was for purposes of the payrois, not for the trees. He knew he's not going to go and take the trees away. He was just lease the property for the payrois. So Rava says these are not considered to be payrois, and therefore the lessee, when he leaves the property, is not entitled to receive anything. Okay. I'm sorry, was it your brother Shai?
I was always wondering, when you sold a piece of property and you built, let's say, a strip mall or something on that, what have you, it's not about your Roma, and so he'd lose the property, lose his...
When you say lose, you mean in Yovel year?
Yeah, in the Yovel year.
Right.
And so here we see now that the person who it's returned to has to pay the person who approved the land. I assume buildings has to pay for those.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense, but Tachlis, we'd have to look up the Rambam or Shulchan Aruch to see. I don't think Shulchan Aruch deals with that, but the Rambam would deal with that. What the Hilchos Yovel are, Mitzvah, that soon Yovel is going to be back into effect in Mitzvah Shem. So by that time, hopefully, we'll be familiar and you'll look it up so you'll know whatever properties you buy in Eretz Yisrael, what do you have to be concerned with.
What should you go claim?
Sorry?
Well, you can go claim yours.
You can go claim yours. Okay, well, Mitzvah, yeah, exactly. Zok Mor Vaitim. Rapapa kibel aro li aspasta. Rapapa went and leased a piece of property for aspasta. Aspasta is a type of grain which is typically used for cattle fodder, for animals. Okay, so that's what he leased the property for. That was his intent, to go and plant the aspasta. Kodchu botali. In certain areas in this property, grew wild trees. What type of trees? Rashi just says tzomchu bo ilonois. The art scroll says that these are palm saplings. Should be, of course, from a palm tree. Anyway, those grew there in the property, and therefore Rav Papa lost out the opportunity in certain spots of this property to go and plant his aspasto, for that matter, to plant anything, because of the fact that now the trees are occupying some space on this property. We're not talking about huge trees, these are saplings that grew. Nevertheless, they took up some of the room where our papa was going to go and grow his aspasta. So what happens now? Kikam Estalik, when our papa is now leaving the property, Omulahu, he said to the original owner, Havlu Shvacha, give me the Shvacha, because of the fact that now you have these trees here which you didn't have previously. I lost out money. I wasn't able to go and plant in those areas. And Baruch Hashem, now that you have these trees, so I should get credit, because it was during my term in office in the property that these trees grew. So give me the shvach. Are you going to go and say what happens if there was an existing palm tree and Baruch Hashem, it grew fatter and grew wider and heavier? Are you also going to go and say, Hachanami, the boy, mar, shvachay, that you're also going to say you should get the shvach? Now, l'choira, on the surface, isn't that the machloikis that we had at the beginning of our sugya today between Abaye and Rava, where Abaye says, yo, he does get the shvach. And Rava says, no, he does not get the shvach. So Tois in the top tells us, that's dafka because you're talking about a sycamore tree that doesn't have peyros. Since it doesn't have peyros, the only peyros that you have vis-a-vis the sycamore tree is the fact that it's getting brighter and brighter, wider and wider, and therefore eventually you'll be able to go at least once every 7 years, cut down branches and pieces of it to be able to use for beams. However, here we're talking about a dekel, which is a fruit tree, and a fruit-bearing tree you're not allowed to cut down as long as it's producing fruit. So therefore, he never had in mind the shvach of the bark or the trunk of the tree. What he had in mind was the peiros being produced from the tree. And therefore says Rav Shish Bnei Davidi, to Rav Papa, let me ask you, if when he came to the property, originally there were dikla on the property, and he held the property for 5 years, and now he wants to give it back, are you going to tell me he's going to go and get the shvach, that the dekel is now that much stronger and bigger and heavier?
Did these saplings produce fruit yet?
Here we're not talking about the saplings. Let's go back. We'll get back to that in a moment. In the meantime, he's asking him, would you go and say about that that you're entitled to get shvach? In the case of the trees, the dekel trees, which already are fruit-bearing trees, if somebody takes over property and he has those to call him, what is his mindset? His mindset is to go and get in between the trees whatever he can go and plant on the ground, and as far as the trees that I'm concerned, to get whatever fruit are on those trees. Usually palm trees have dates. He'll be able to go and take those dates and eat them and sell them and get money. So that's what he has in mind. He doesn't have in mind that the dekel is going to get thicker and bigger. That's not a daita, the lava daita hochi nachis. But no, says Rapapa, in our case, hocha, a daita hochi nachisna. I went down to this property, meaning that I am paying for the lease of this property for the next whatever number of years. For what purpose? To produce as much as I can. So I was going to produce as much as fast as possible. And these saplings have taken away the spot, the place of the espasa. So I've lost out. I want to at least get now the shvach in these trees because of the fact that I lost out all these years from being able to be able to go and plant in those areas. So aren't you saying, Rapapa, that you're paskaling like Abaya, that you want to have the benefit of the shvach shikma? Why does he consider to be the shvach shikma? Because, as you said before, since these happen to be saplings, they have not produced any fruit of any moment. And even if they have, you have the 3-year orla period anyway. So therefore, he's saying the shvach shikma yeshloi. So wouldn't you say over here too that since these saplings took away some of the space in the property, and now he's saying he's entitled to get the shvach, so it's like getting the shvach of a shikma where there were no fruits, and he's getting the benefit of the saplings getting bigger and bigger, etc. So to our fill the table, even go contra, in the case of the sycamore trees, he didn't have any loss. He knew that the trees were there at the very beginning, and it didn't stare him, it didn't interfere, as far as he's concerned, with his plans in cultivating the field. Rashi says that it didn't bother him vis-a-vis the Zuriya or the Harisha, because after all, he knows that that's there. And Rashi says, the growth of the Shikma trees, Leimona Mimenu Harisha Zuriya, it didn't ruin any of his plans to go and plant this whole field and cultivate it and make money. Masha'inkein Ha'acha, here, by these saplings growing out and interfering with his being able to go and plant aspasta, is a hafzid. Amalei, so he said to my brother Satiha, how much was the hafzid? Yoda de aspasta. You're just worried about yoda here. Yoda means the space, the place where you would have planted the aspasta. No, shkol yoda de aspasta vizil. What are you talking about now, making ganze shvach, seeing how big these little saplings have grown and given the shvach? Mister, all you're entitled to is, there were 3 spots, 5 spots where you weren't able to go and plant the aspasta. No, aspasta in those 5 spots is worth $10. It's $10 and guy isn't tight. Omele, he said, no. Ana kurka b'derishka, raboy. Even though initially my intention was to go and plant aspasta, but that didn't prevent me from planting here and there some more valuable types of produce, which is korkuma derishkuma. We had korkuma derishkuma a couple of days ago. Korkuma derishkuma means saffron plants. Well, these saffron plants, especially the korkuma derishkuma plants, are considered to be quite valuable. And so therefore, we're not talking about $10, we're talking about maybe $50. Much more, because I could have planted in those spots a korkuma derishkuma. Amalesi said to him, Giliza datra de la mishkal vistaluke, avdis, so he told them, you have now shown your full argument. And what have you shown from your full argument? That you're not really happy about the fact that trees grow there because you didn't need those trees. That was not your desire. All you're talking about is that you could have had Korkum and the Rishka. Okay, Korkum and the Rishka is a wonderful thing, but it's only a temporary annual plant. It's not something that has permanence. And so therefore, we'll give you the amount of the Korkum and the Rishka, but don't expect to go and get the value of these new saplings which have grown, because you yourself didn't even talk about the fact, oh, the saplings grew during those 5-7 years that I was here. You only spoke about that you can go and plant the Korkum and the Rishka. So Korkum and the Rishka is easy in, easy out. Those we have to go and pay you for, but the Shvach, otherwise, in these trees that we don't have to go and pay for you, because Ein L'chal D'me'etz L'vod, it wasn't your intention to have permanent trees that you planted. It was only, you're just upset about the fact that you lost out the income each year of the Korkum and the Rishka. So that's we got to pay you, but not more.
We had the case where someone was allowed to go into the field to take it, right? Because it hurt the flax that was growing in there.
You're asking, no, that was rather something else. But if you want to go back to see where we learned it, it's on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara said the last three lines before the wide lines down below, where Rav Yehuda said to Rav Ada Mishucha. Rav Ada was in the business of measuring the meets and bounds of properties. He says, like tzalzel b'mishchasa, be very careful, meticulous, and scrupulous. In other words, be a yeka when you're going and measuring properties. The chol purta uporta, if you're just going to make a mistake by just a few inches, in that space, chazi l'korkum l'rishka. Rashi says korkum l'rishka is much more valuable than your regular, normal korkuma. If you want to look at the Rashi, Rashi is about twice, two-thirds down the Omid, Korkum Arishka, Karkoim Shalgan, Shekoyden Krug Unmalont, V'u Mishubach Mishubach Korkumen. This is the best, the nicest, the most precious of all the Korkumen, and that's worth much more than your normal, regular Korkuma.
So why did he plant us faster? Because he planted a valuable crop. Why didn't he in the areas... all the areas.
Yeah, he showed us pastas what he was planting. He wasn't planting Korkum and Rishka.
Mm-hmm.
He's planting us pastas. It sounds like he's padding his claim by saying, oh, I could have planted the most valuable thing.
Well, if I can't have gold, I'm not going to take silver. Anybody.
I understand what you're asking. Apparently, Korkum and the Rishka is the type of thing that doesn't have the greatest market. It's expensive. People will buy it for special for shlachmunis or something. And this was a local one. It's not like today that you have refrigerated trucks that will take the produce all the way from Peru and Mexico and from perishable items. Exactly. So this
why didn't he designate a corner to raise saffron? I mean, the fact that he didn't even plant bichlal.
Mm-hmm.
He just planted aspasta, which is animal feed.
Dabke is going to plant exactly. In the area where the saplings are growing. It doesn't make sense.
He sounds like he's padding his claim.
And the Gemara does, it follows this logic in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are deviating from that logic.
We're saying over here that the maximum that he could have expected to receive by leasing this property would have been not only for the aspasta,
yeah,
but a few Korkum
and Rishka. Aspasta that he lost. That
exactly.
He's entitled to no more.
Exactly. Because he's planting aspasta everywhere, so that's a real
claim. I don't understand.
That's a valid claim.
Of Rav Shisha.
I hear you loud and clear.
The kind of Rapopet.
Yeah, I understand. Even though the Morris says Kibbal Arla aspasta, apparently it wasn't exclusive only aspasta. It was his intent to do aspasta.
It's his choice.
It's his choice, exactly. I assume that there wasn't enough of a market to go and plant only Korkum and Rishkas over this entire large field, but for aspasta, for animal fodder, and tvua will remain, of course, for months and months before it'll go bad or before it rots or moldy or whatever. So that there was enough of a cause to go and rent the whole property. For a couple of Korkum and Rishkas, apparently that wasn't sufficient. But at least what the Gemara is saying is that he can taina that I could have planted a few here and there, and I couldn't because of these saplings, so therefore reimburse me by having the saplings. Now, you, the owner of the property, have been enriched because you get these saplings. You're now about to grow beautiful pears and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And I leave and I'm empty-handed. Since I couldn't have planted the Korkum and Rishka, at least pay me that amount. So I won't take the value of these new trees that were, I didn't plant them. They grew on their own. But since I was deprived from that income, the potential income, please pay me for that. And the Gemara said, okay, for that he has a time. Now the Gemara tells us...
Where, What is he paying him for?
For the for,
why not the espasta? Why is he paying him for the value of the wood?
That sounds right. What do you mean the value of the wood? When the Gemara says the me'etzim levad, it means not for. When the Gemara says the me'etzim, it means not to get the value of these live saplings. We do not have to go and call the tree assessment agency that's going to go and appraise the value of these trees, which by now probably these saplings are now sturdier trees. It was there for several years, so they're probably, you know, upsa chatikharudeskabid. That he's not entitled to. Why is he not entitled to? Because he didn't say that in these three or four makoimis, I could have planted my own trees. I wasn't interested in planting trees. I was interested in making money during these years. The maximum I could have made would have been to go and plant, instead of aspasta, a crocus here and a crocus there, these korkum and the rishkis. So I was deprived from that. That's what he means. The me'etzim is not entitled to get the value of labedika, wonderful trees, but rather, if you will, of dead trees. Because he wasn't interested in planting trees. He was only interested in planting the aspasta, or, to a limited extent, this korkum and the rishka.
It's like getting the wages of a pole bottle type thing, like the minimal amount?
No, okay, good. Something similar. Rabbi Barabaya kibal arav ahadale mishunisa. Rabbi Barabaya had now rented a piece of property, and lo and behold, what happened was around the field, gvulim started coming out, which were like, Rashi says, shein har, like boulders, or not bushes, but things that normally don't grow. See, Rashi says ahadale mishunisa higbiu soviv gvuleha. Ki'en Shein Har, meaning until the point when he had rented the field, it was a nice, beautiful, fertile field, and everything was great. And then apparently some storm winds came, they uprooted some of the topsoil, and guess what he sees? Around the whole field is this whole edge,
a rocky ridge.
A rocky ridge, very good, a rocky ridge. And rocky ridges you don't normally plant, because rocky ridges usually they don't grow. So we had a Mishunisa, Kadchu Bei Zardisa. Almost miraculously, a kardasa, Rashi says, zardasa are ilonoi shul uzridin. I think the article says it's sorb trees, S-O-R-B.
I don't know,
but if anybody knows, please share it. Otherwise, you can Google it, and they'll probably show you a picture of what it does, whatever it is. Anyway, so sorb trees grew out of that, out of these rocks at Mishunisa. And obviously, this was very Mishuna, maybe that's why it was called Mishunisa, that you should have trees growing out of the rocks. Okay. Anyway, now, several years later, when Rabbi Barabai is leaving the property, look, during the time that I had the property, look at these sorb trees that grew. And therefore, do you have a picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So if you want to Google a sorb...
I'm not much smarter, but...
but at least you know what it looks like.
Yes.
Okay.
Does it produce fruit?
Does it produce fruit?
Yes.
Yes, uzridin fruit.
Sorbet.
Maybe they make sorbet out of sorb trees. With spicy. Probably make out of sugar. But regardless, anyway, I want to have the benefit of the growth of these trees on this property when I was here. Amra papi mishum, da sisum in muloi, hamrisum milim uliyasa. The Gemara uses this expression a number of times in Shas, that we know that Abaya came from Beis Eli. And because he came from Beis Eli, anybody in Beis Eli unfortunately passed away young or youngish. It says that Abaya, because he was Oisik, Batoira, and Chesed, not only, Rabba or Rava, the two different Kirsois, whether it was Rabba or Rava, Wulza came from the same Beis Eli, and because he was Moli Batoira, he was able to live the ripe old age of 40. Because Abaya was involved not only in Torah but also in Chesed, he lived to the ripe old age of 60. Rabibi was the son of Abaya, and therefore he's from the same family. Mishum dasis muloi means because you come from the family which is never cut short, because the whole Beis Eli, there was unfortunately a curse that they should all die young. Amrisa mil miyasa, you go and say, you say Torah, which is also cut short. I feel that Rapapa Liyamar, let the Islaib say that even Rapapa, when he was demanding payment for those areas where he could have planted the korkum and the rishka, Abahacha might say this, Lach. What say do you have? Did you in your million years ever think that you're going to go and plant and have any benefit from this rocky terrain around the field? Avadanish. So therefore, you cannot go and claim, because these trees grew on their own, that you should get some credit as if it's taking away space from where you could plant. He couldn't have planted there anyway. It's a rocky terrain. So therefore, whatever is there, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a present to the landowner. You, Rabibi, don't deserve any reward for that.
Such an insult, it seems very inappropriate.
You have this Gemara, this Lashon, a number of times in Shas. I don't know if it's always Rapapi that says it, but if so, then it would be consistent. Yeah, but you're right. There is a famous tshuva in the Chavis Yoir, I think it's tshuva Kofi Beis or something, that deals with any type of negative comments that you find throughout Shas. How is it possible that these great giants, the Tanoim or Amiroim, should have used that type of language? And the Chavis Yoir tries to justify and explain each time why they use those expressions.
Dark people from a dark land, or not having a brain in your head, all those wonderful.
Zoksi Marvaitim. Rav Yosef Havalei Hahu Shasla. Rav Yosef had a Shasla. Now we're going to deal with Shasla from here to most of the Amud Beis. A Shasla is a person that you hire to go and plant a kerem. You own an empty piece of land. It's always been your dream to go and produce your own grapes and your own wine. And therefore, you hire a shasla. And what he does is, he takes your property and he plants it and he makes a kerem, a vineyard out of it. And from that point on, he remains as your, if you will, your partner for the next umpteen years. And he becomes like an oris, where he's going to work the field. And Rashi says, and he takes a mechza beperis. If you see the Rashi right before the white lines, all the way in the bottom, shasla noiteya kerem bekarka, he plants the vineyard for you, for the bekarka balabais, for all of Leois oris, and then he becomes the oris kala yomim for the rest of his life. For noitel mechza beperis, and he always takes half of the peiris, because after all, half of it he planted. He planted the whole thing. So we give him half of the produce year after year after year for the fact that he went and he planted initially, and for the fact that he continues working the field until the end. So what happens now? So if you also have the shasla, you have the shasla, who apparently loved very dearly, who had planted the kerem for him, and unfortunately, Rachman Atzlan Shochiv, he passed away.
Who passed away?
No, the shasla. The shavak, and he left behind Chamisha Chasv Navasa. Five Edomis. Edomis means sons-in-law. And now Rav Yosef says he bemoans his lot. I mean, of course, he was very upset about the shasla, but the shasla has already passed on, and the levai took place, and the spadim and the shiva, but now we're stuck here with five Edomis. Omar Adi in the Chad. Until now, he only had to deal with one shasla. He was basically my partner in the field. Mahashta Chamisha. I can't work with five people. Adi in the Lehav Samchi Hadodi, Vule Mifsidili. Hashta Chamisha, Samcha Dodi, Mifsidili. As the, what's the expression, too many chefs spoil the brew. Why? Because of the fact that everyone's relying on the other guy, right? So here too, if they're going to be five shaslas now, each one's going to say, I don't have to do this, you know, Reuven's going to be available, and Shimon will do this, and Zvulun, and Yehuda, and Naftali, etc. Everybody's going to rely on the other guy, and what does it say? Katcha debay should feel like karirev lechamimi, that if you have a pot which is being cooked by two chefs, like Kareer Lechamim, it's never going to get cold, it's never going to get hot, because everybody's going to rely on the other one to put the heat on and to go and put all the spices in and all the ingredients. Said Gunishvan, you have to have one chef in charge. So therefore, he said, five shaslas is not going to work. So Amul Hu, he said to all of them, Isha Kalisu, Shvachaychu, Umistaliku, Mutiv. If you're willing to go and take your shvach, the improvement that your father-in-law made to this property, you get your shvach, like the shvach, the sycamore shvach, and then you leave, mutav zegut, v'iloi, and if you're not willing to do that, maslik n'lechu b'loi shvacha, then I'll ask you to leave without taking any severance pay, any goodbye. Why? The Yomar of Yehuda, v'yisem Rav Huna, v'yisem Rav Nachman, hay shasla, d'shocha, v'yisem Rav Shasla passed away, yorshim d'ilei mistalkin l'hu b'loi shvacha, you can ask the Yorshim to leave without giving them any shvach. That's what he said. But Lemaisa, this was not the case. That the Gemara quoted of Yehuda, v'yisem Rav Nachman, that you can go and be misalik and b'lei shvach, is not true. You have to go and give them a certain amount of shvach. So here too, if Rav Yosef wants to ask these five to leave, that's okay, but he has to go and give them shvach for the improvements in the property.
Before the end of the term?
Before the end of the term.
Yeah, clearly, because the guy died.
The person died.
So, but he gives the shvach to the end of the term.
Yeah, but this is different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a makabel soda that was a choker who did it for 7 years or 10 years or 100 years, whatever it was. Here, a shasl is hired permanently. He is the one that planted the initial vineyard, and he's hired to be the permanent sharecropper and caretaker of the land permanently, as long as he lives. When he passes, sorry,
an
oris face. Correct. That's why she said he's like an oris kolayam, and then unfortunately he passed away, and that's the end. So now the children wanted to take over their rhesus or the shasla, but Rav Yossi said, "I can't deal with you guys. Each one of you is going to rely on the other one, and nothing's going to get done." So, what about him? Who shasla the amulahu imafsedina misalkana misalkana? The shasla said to the original owner, "Imafsedina, if I'm not going to do a good job and I'm going to ruin the land and ruin the crops and all the rest, Mr. Lachman, then I'll leave and you can get rid of me." Afsid, and in fact, unfortunately, he predicted what was going to happen. In fact, he was mafsed. So I'm reviewing him, Istalik B'lei Shvacha. He leaves without getting any payment or any benefit for the improvement because he was mafsed. Rav Kahana Omer Mistalik V'shal Kishvacha. Itak asked to leave. I mean, that was the deal. He said, Imafsedina, Mr. Lakna, I'll leave. He has to leave, but he's still entitled to whatever improvement he made in the property. Obviously, he ruined part of the property, but whatever improvements he made, he's entitled to get the benefit of that. Omoyde Rav Kahana, even though Rav Kahana said, Mistalek Vishokashvacha, the Omar Ipasidna, Mistalakna, Beloishvacha, Mistalek Beloishvacha. In other words, the case that was posited was a shasla the omalu imafsidina mistalakna. Then we had a machloikis, does he get shvach or he doesn't get shvach? But everybody agrees that if he said the statement that imafsidina mistalakna beloishvacha, then he doesn't get the shvach. So that's a dove poshet. What's the grace of chiddush? I mean, that's what he took upon himself. Rav Omar, no, I disagree. Asmachti, asmachta lo ikanya.
Exaggerated.
Exactly. He didn't really mean it. He just meant to say, you have nothing to worry about. I'm such a good, dedicated, devoted worker. I'm going to produce the best vineyard that you've ever seen in your life. And if I happen to mess up, don't worry. I'll leave immediately and you don't even have to pay me a penny. No severance pay, no shvacha, no gunish. That's, however, says Rava, he didn't really mean that. He was just so confident in his abilities that he's going to do such a super heroic job. But Lamaisi, he didn't do it. And therefore, it's an esmachta, and esmachta is loikani.
What happens if they had a written contract in this sense? It's the same thing?
This is in the written contract. He said,
this is verbal. It was a verbal commitment. In a written commitment, might be a different story, no?
Theoretically, but usually when the Gemara says Iomar, he means even in writing, that he wrote it down, and that it's still, even though he wrote it down, it's still an asmacht, and asmacht aleikan. Well, the Rav Maishna mihodet nan, im oivrav le'avid ashalim bin meit. We had this omission earlier on, that what happens if the oris says to the owner, or the renter, he says, im oivir, if I'm going to go and leave this field fallow, I'm not going to work in it. Ashalim mate, I'm going to go and pay you from the best. What about over there? Why doesn't Rava consider that also to be an asmachta? We go and say that if he says, and we put his feet to the fire, we tell him, in Chanam, you have to go and pay. Do you think I meant it? Do you think I was going to leave it fallow? It was all an asmachta. But there Rava says, you have to go and pay. After Mahasim, Mighty Afsid Mishalim. In that case, since he left the field fallow and the Balabus was expecting to go and receive, let's assume it was an Oris situation, 50% or 2/3, whatever, of the produce, there's no produce because he just left it fallow. So then the Balabus says, you got to go and pay for the Hafsid that you made for me. I was relying on this to feed my family and I don't have anything now. Hoch, in our case, Mighty Afsid Minakinan Lay, the Idoch Yavinan Lay. What does that mean? Over here, what's the hefsed that we're talking about? The hefsed was that he didn't do a good job in the kerem, and therefore we're telling him that you spoiled. He said, "My the afsed, don't have to give me shvacha." So whatever hefsed he made minakin and lay, we will reduce whatever amount he normally should have received. But if there's anything left, we will give it to him. In other words, we'll net out the fact that he ruined part of the property against the fact that he also improved the property. So whatever, go make a cheshbon how much the improvement of the property is as a result of the fact that he planted all of these vines in this vineyard. Take off the fact that this last year he really ruined it, he blew it. So net that out, and if there's anything left, then you'll give him the bounty, you'll give him that reward. And if in fact it turns out the ruinage is greater than the amount of the improvement, he won't get anything. Runya Shasla Ravina Haba. Runya was the Shasla, the planter of the Kerem on behalf of Ravina. His Haba Afsid, unfortunately, he was Mafsid. Salke, so Ravina sent him away. Osla Kamadirova, Omalei, Chazi Meir, Mike Overly. Did you see what happened? He fired me. He threw me out. Omalei Shaparovit. Apparently he deserved it. Apparently Runya didn't do a good job and therefore he ran Runya out of town. He didn't give me any warning. You know, he should have given me a 30-day warning. And if you don't shape up, I'm going to ship you out. You don't have to go and give a warning under these circumstances. That's a malamid. Or a shasla. That's our case, someone who planted a vineyard. A tafcha. A shoichit. The umna. Umna, Rashi curiously says over here, is a moihel tinoikais. Person that's a moil. Usually Rashi translates umna as
blood,
a
blood letter.
Blood letter. So if you look at the Moisef Rashi, and here on the right hand side, the last Moisef Rashi, all the way in the bottom, right hand side, you see, what does he say? Umna is a makizdam. But for some reason, Rashi changed it over here to be a moil. Anyway, all of these people, and we continue on to the Amit Beis, this Sapar Masa. Sapar Masa is ulta tu pshatim. Normally, Sapar Masa would mean the local barber. However, Sapar Masa can also mean he was a sofer masa, that he wrote the Sifri Torah, he wrote mezuzas and tefillin and things of that nature. Anyway, all of these people, kulam kibutarim v'oimdim dami, because of the fact that the work that they do could cause a hefsid, they are on notice from the day that they were originally hired that you don't need any 30-day notice. If you mess up, you can go and ship the guy out quickly. And so the Mefarshim go through what is the problem with all of these things. So for instance, the Mikra Dardiki, once he teaches something, that can stay with him. As she says on the bottom of the Omer Aleph, Seyded lehodru, v'shabeshta kimen de'ol ol. Once a child learns something as a mistake, take 50 years and he still pronounces the same word incorrectly 50 years later, because he didn't learn it properly the first time. But a pshat in the Chumash, in a particular pasuk, that remains for the rest of his life. He's teaching his Einiklach. He's still teaching the pshat that he learned when he was in first grade and when he was in Chayitim. And the Shasla, if he messes up, then he could ruin the entire property. A Tafcha, a Shoichit, if he doesn't do a good job, it could become an Avela. And Umna, Chas Sholem, a Moyel, Harachmon, and so on. We know too that Chas can happen. I'm sorry, Vazukzi. Okay.
What about
That's in fact a very good example. Brother Shai is reminding us of the Gemara. I think it's the beginning of Bava Basra, which we should be learning shortly, where the Gemara says that he was taught about Zechar Amalek, Zochar Amalek. He thought that it's only a din you have to go and be Moichad the Zchorim and not the Zechar, also in the Kavis and the Behemoth and all the rest. Shkoyach. So you see also, because his Rebbe messed up and he told him Zochar instead of Zechar, that's why he got into trouble. The Sofer Masa, if you're talking about a Sofer, then of course that makes a lot of sense. A Sofer, if he writes the Sefer Torah incorrectly, or a Tefillin or Mezuzah, so that's really a big hefsid. Sapar Masa, if you're talking that it means just a barber, that's not, you know, something which is that tragic. But even so, if a person goes into the barbershop and he's expecting to come out nicely trimmed and all the rest, and the barber goes and takes off too much hair, he leaves too much hair in different places, the person can be at least a temporary laughing stock. He's not going to want to go and show himself in the street that he's totally bald or he has a ponytail or whatever it happens to be. So,
no, he cut off his pants.
Oh, well, exactly. That's, I didn't even want to say that, but you're right. 100%. Chas v'sholem. How could he even think about something like that? So therefore, kulam ketarim v'oymen dami, and you can dismiss them without giving them any pre-warning.
The damage is already done.
The damage is done. Exactly right.
So why are you dismissing
him? Exactly. There's no purpose in giving him notice. Kol demilta, kol psedet lehodar, kim ketarim v'oymen dami. Anytime there's a hefset that will not return, at least even though the removal of the payas is also only temporary, it'll grow back within days or weeks, etc. But nevertheless, for that period of time, it's a hefsed lehodar, and it's as if he's warned. You don't get any other warning. There's a shasal that says, I wasn't mafsid. The reason why I'm leaving is because I'm going on aliyah. I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I want you to go and give me something for all these hard work that I did and for all the improvements that I did to the land. Give me shvacha. Also, the Kamadra Papa Bar Shmuel, Omelahu, Havali Shvacha, no, give me shvach. Omelah Rava, Iu, Ashbach, Ara, Loy Ashbach. So now, when Rapapa Bar Shmuel said to the landowner that you have to go and give him shvach, the Gemara assumed at this point, meaning for the entire improvement that he made to this land. So, to understand the next Shikla Gemara, we're going to go into very, very simple and basic arithmetic, and we'll use Rashi's example. Let's assume that this was a piece of property which was totally raw and empty, and he went and planted in it six rows of vines and made it into a nice, stable, large vineyard. Let's assume that each row of vines was worth one dinar. So the improvement that he made to this property was that of six dinar worth of these rows of vines in the vineyard. So when Rabbi Bar Shmuel said, of course you have to give him the improvement. So Rav is saying, what, you have to give him the value of six dinarim that he planted the six vines? Iu ashbach ara loy ashbach. Is it, I mean, a person cannot go and plant in the middle of the ear. You have to plant it in the ground. The fact that you have now six viable rows of vines with clusters of grapes and all the rest is, of course, the shasla did a great job. We're very thankful. But it's all to the land that gets some reward for contributing to the growth of these vines. Because had it not been for the land, then the taina of the shasla would be groundless. Did you like that, Shelley? Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. I knew you'd like it. Anyway, so the Rav said, Iu ashbach ara loy ashbach. Amaleis, Rapapa Bar Shmuel said, that's what I meant. And a palga de shvacha kamina loch. I only meant that he's going to get half of the benefit of the land. In other words, we're going to split up the land as if it was 50% belonging to the landowner, 50% belonging to the shasla, because he provided the land, he provided his services, and therefore he's entitled to get three dinners worth of the six dinarim improvements as a result of these six vines. So he's got the six rows of vines. So he'll be able to go and get half, three out of the six. Okay, very simple. Amalei, so Rava said, Vaita to our Papa Shmuel, Ada idna have a shokel balabayis palga, v'shasla palga. Because of the fact that the shasla was the one that planted this vineyard in the first place, he got the 50%, like Rashi said back on the Amud Aleph. That was the permanent arrangement, that he'll be the permanent oris, because he's the one that planted it initially, and they'll split the profits every year, 50-50. Hash de boi lemesa menosa larisa. But you know what's going to happen now? I'm now the landowner. I'm going to have to go and hire an oris to work in the land. And the oris is going to take, Rashi says, a third. Apparently, since he's dealing with a fertig vineyard, he's not planting the vineyard. We're not talking about an oris that has to plant year after year after year. What he has to do, of course, he has to prune the vines and take out the weeds and stuff like that. But it's already a fertig vineyard.
It's maintaining it. Also, you don't have the orla.
Maintenance, for sure.
You don't lose years of orla.
Right, because we're assuming that we've right. Passed that already. But anyway.
So he's supposed to get one third?
So he's supposed to get one third. Exactly. So now, says the Gemara, I'm going to have to shear what is remaining with the Aris, and I'm going to receive much, much less. Until now, I got half. Now I'm going to have to go and give, if you're going to go and give half to the Shasla, and now of the remaining half, you're going to go and give a third to the Aris, I'm going to be left with much less than I had until now. Meaning, till now we had six altogether. You split six down the middle, I received profit of three per year, and the Shasla got three per year. Now, if the Shasla leaves with his three, I'm just down left with three, the Oris is going to take a third of my three, and I'm going to be left with two. Is it fair that I should be... He wants to go to Aliyah, Gesundheit, I mean, I send him my bracha. However, why should I lose that as a result, and now instead of getting my annual profit of 50, I'm only going to go and get two out of the six, I'm only going to get a third. So it's not fair to me. I'm sorry?
That's not good arithmetic.
Not a good arithmetic, exactly. The arithmetic.
Six.
There are six.
There are six?
So the owner has to get his half.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guy goes and leaves. So he's forcing the sharecropper to, you know, to take over for him.
Right.
So he gets the third from his half.
Right, Kol Mishana Yara Tachtana.
So you're saying that the Shasa should also have to lose.
Shasa should kick in for the new sharecropper.
Since your sharecropper has to get one third, it should be one third of the one who's leaving.
Okay, so very good. So the point that you're making is exactly the point that Rava made to Rapapa Bar Shmuel. So you happen to be, maybe you're a descendant of Rava, but the point is that the Gemara says that
was a Kohen. Shelley's not Kohen.
We could be a Bas, you know.
It's a machlokes, it was Rava or Rava.
First of all, it's a machlokes, says Barry, whether it was Rava or Rava. That's number one. Number two, it could be that he's, you know, his grandmother was a Bas Kohen, right? So it could be that you see the mother with a Bas Kohen. So that defeats your argument, brother. Anyway, let's get back to the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us that initially, Rapapa Bar Shmuel says he gets the Shvach. So Rava thought that means he gets all six. He says, Rava, come on, it's not fair. He provided the land. So Rapapa Bar Shmuel said, come on, you didn't understand me. I meant really half. And Apalga the Shvach came in. He gets three, he gets three. Says Rava, but still not fair. I didn't have a Shakal Balabai's Palga. He got three. The Shasta got three. Hashaboy the Mason and also Larisa now. After giving three away to the Shasla, he's remaining with three. Of his three, he's only going to get now two, because he's still going to have to give a third. The Shasla did work for him. Shasla's not doing any work, he's leaving. So now I'm going to be stuck with two. Is that fair? Amalei, Sir Papa Bishmul said, you're right.
A capital payment and an annual payment.
Yeah.
Maybe just every one time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be every year. So 1 year he'll get two, but the next year he'll get six. Minus one for the
year. So apparently he's referring at least to that first year payment. Why should we pay him? We're overpaying him for the year. He's not deserving to receive that much money. So he said, Hashaboy the Mesa Manoslarisa, Amalei, River the Shvacha Kamina. When I said that we split it, when I said Palga, I didn't really mean Palga, I really meant River. I mean we should go and give the Shasla a quarter of the improvements in the property, and with this, he should be happy. And with this, we won't have the owner lose. So Rav Ashi LeMeimer, what does that mean, a quarter? Rivadu danka, it's a quarter which is a sixth. What means a quarter which is a sixth? Ki omra minyumi b'reid Rav Nachumi, ba'asud b'shokl shasla palga, in those areas where the minhag was that the shasla took half, v'arisa tilts and the oris took a third, hay shasla, the boy is taluki, if the shasla says, I want to leave, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, yavinu le shvacha, we give him shvach, and we let him go. We have to be careful that the balabas shouldn't lose any money. Uh-huh, okay, that makes sense. But now what's the arithmetic? Now this is, again, very, very simple arithmetic. And he's saying how when Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said that we're going to give him a fourth, a quarter, that means a quarter which is like a sixth. What does it mean, a quarter which is like a sixth? Start off again with the sixth. As a result of the fact that the Shasla is leaving, he, the landowner, has to go and pay him money. He's not going to give the Shasla the actual vine and say, start uprooting the vines and take them all with you to Eretz Yisrael. That's ridiculous. So he's going to have to go and give him the capital, the amount that it's worth. Fine. But from now on, what is the landowner going to do? He has to have an oris that's going to work the six. If he's going to work the six, since he gets a third of the six, how much is he going to take?
Two.
Two. How much is going to be left? Four. Right? Six minus two is four. Does everybody agree? Okay, it's unanimous. It's four. So now that he has four, if we're going to give the Shasla a quarter, that's what he said, danka, a quarter of the four means we're going to give him one, right? A quarter of four. Does everybody agree? That's one. We give one to the Shasla. How much will the landowner be left with? He'll be left with three. That's exactly what Maraimer said. Maraimer says, make sure that he shouldn't lose any money. Now, what does it mean, river du danke? Because the river, you're looking at the net after giving two to the oris. Because the oris is taking a third. Because he's the sharecropper. I start off with six. He takes a third, he takes two. I'm left with four. I give the shasla a quarter, he gets one. I leave the landowner with three. So that's because you look at the quarter vis-a-vis the four remaining after paying the oris his two. But you can also look upon it as when you have all the six together, how much is the shasla going to leave with in his pocket? 1/6, because the 1/4 of the 4 was 1, and 1/6 of 6 is 1. So that's what the Gemara means to say, that it's riva, which is really a danka. It's a riva if you compare the one row vis-a-vis the four remaining after deducting the sharecropper's share. So 1/4 of 4 is 1. But if you look upon the entire enterprise, all 6 together, how much does a shasla take away? It takes 1 out of the 6. So that was the expression that Rav Ashi said, lemeima riva d'havadanka. Okay, so what does that mean when the dust settles? It means that the shasla is going to get 1, the oris will get 2, and the landowner will keep 3. And Baruch Hashem, the landowner has not lost out because the shasla has decided to retire and to move away. Zokti Yimura, Eliyamrit Riva Mamish. See, go back. Iyamrit Bishloima, we're halfway down the Yomit. Iyamrit Bishloima Riva Du Danka Shaper. If you're going to do this 1/4, which is a 6, then that works perfectly. Then the landowner loses nothing. Eliyamrit Riva Mamish. If you're going to go and say that the shasla takes Mamish 1/4, 1/4 means 1/4 out of 6. Then the balabus is going to lose a half a danka. How will he lose a half a danka? Because if we say that he takes 1/4 out of 6, 1/4 out of 6 would be 1.5. 1.5, right, Shelley? Good. So if we took off 1.5, we started off with 6. 6 minus 1.5 means we're left with 4.5. He has to go and pay the oris on all the 6 1/3. 1/3 of 6 is 2. So he's going to, out of 4.5, he's going to have to go and give 2 to the oris, and he's going to be left with then only 2.5. So instead of saying that he gets his full 3, he's only going to be left with 2.5. And that's why when we said the river du danka, it's not river mamish, 1/4 out of the 6, it's 1/4 after the net, after removing the 2 of the oris. So 1/4 of 4 is 1. He only gets 1. But if you're going to go and tell me he's going to get 1/4 of the gross of the entire 6, oy, 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 then the landowner loses a half a danka. Omli Rav Acham Rav Yosef Rav Ashi. Rav Acham Rav Yosef was a very, very smart young man, as we'll see in the Gemara. He said, Rav Ashi, v'lei mele, ant menosa di loch havli larisa, v'no menosa di li, mai de be'ina avidna be'. What the Gemara is saying is, the math is not exactly the way you presented it. No, not the time. What does that mean? Instead of going and saying he should have 2.5, why don't you start the other way around and say the following. The shasla should go and get 1.5, 1/4, like we just discussed. Now you're saying, oh, it's 1.5. Then we're going to be left with 4.5. 4.5, our landowner is going to have to go and pay 1/3 of the entire 6, which means he's going to have to pay 2, and we're going to be left with only 2.5. No, 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 no. If we're going to give the value of the 1.5 to the shasla, and we have 4.5 left, then the oris only has to go and get 1/3 of the 4.5. How much is 1/3 of 4.5?
1.5. At least 3 for the landowner.
At least 3 for the landowner. So therefore, it's not necessarily the case that we're going to go and give the shasla only 1. We might give the shasla 1.5. We're going to give the oris 1.5. They'll have 3. And there'll be 3 remaining for the landowner. And therefore,
work the land of the guy who
lives. So that's what Gemara is saying, is why should I be the only one suffering having to pay the oris? If the oris is going to work all the 6, he should pay for the shasla's part as well. I shouldn't have to go and pay the whole thing. He should go and, from my remaining 4.5, I'm going to go and give him the 3rd. On the other 1.5 of the shasla, let him work it out with the oris. So the point is, that was a lush of the Gemara. Ant Havli Larisa, you part of your portion give to the oris, in other words, you're 1.5 of the 3.5, Vano, and I, Menasa Dili, my Debina Vindabe. With my portion, I'll do whatever I want with my portion. And so therefore, if we're going to in fact give 1.5 to the oris, that's 1.5, for mine, Ishasla, I'll take 1.5, you landowner, we stay with 3, so you have no raya that the 1/4 means 1/6, 1/4 might taka mean a full 1/4.
Shouldn't it depend on when in the season the shasla is leaving?
Yeah, that's why there's a lot of meforshim and a lot of Toises that talk about all these things and go into the minutiae. But the point is, you have no right that a quarter means a sixth. It could mean a quarter means literally a quarter, and the landowner will not be adversely affected because he's still retaining his full three. Zakti Yimara, Omar. So Rav Ashi was so impressed by the very clever reasoning of Acha Bered of Yosef. He said, Kimotzes Shchitas Kodshim. When we start Zvochim in Yet Hashem in another year or two, to actually come back then and start asking the kashas. Because this is, if you will, kid stuff. We're going to get into heavy-duty kodshim, then I can use a very clever young man like you to come and be mefalpel and ask kashas and give terutzim, because I see you have a lot of promise as a great Talmud Chacham. So Gufa, first thing, Mar just repeats this tradition that we just had now. Where the shasla takes a half and the oris takes a third, if the shasla decides I'm leaving, you have to go and give him the shvach, but make sure when he leaves, so the balabush should not lose out, so the balabush should always get his three. That's how much the shasla and the oris will get. They'll work that out between themselves, but the balabush retains his full three. Now, why did we repeat this again? Because we're going to tell us yet another halacha of Rav Minyumi Bereid and Rav Nechumi. Om Rav Minyumi Bereid and Rav Nechumi, Kupa Saba Palga Shotfa Nahara River. Now, what does that mean? So, if you look at the Rashi, about seven lines from the bottom. Kupa Saba. Saba means, of course, like a Saba, it's gotten old. Kupa Saba Palga. A Geffen Shehizkina Bekerem. You have one row of vines that have gotten old in the Kerem, in the vineyard. And unfortunately, they're no longer producing any more fruit. Ariel Kishar is the moitis. They're like any other branches or vines. Shechokim behem. That the oris or the shasla shears in these additional pieces of wood or additional vines or whatever, together with the landowner. Venoitel ba shasla palga. And the shasla can go and take half. Kishar peiros. No, it's fine. No, please don't.
It's more than enough now.
Yeah, but it's cold. It's cold. I don't need cold water.
Okay.
It's good. Shkoyach, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mix it where they are.
And this will give a good incentive to everybody not to ask too many kashas, so we'll be able to finish quickly. The noitel ba shasla palga, so the shasla will take half. Kishar peiros. The kimen di orcha bahachi, adaita dahachi nochas. People knew that's the nature of things, that from time to time, certain vines are just going to go and die, and they're not going to produce any more fruit. So any shasla, when he took upon himself a piece of property to go and plant the vines, he knew that there'll be number six will only last for 5 years, and number three is going to last for 12 years, etc. That's the way these things work. So what happens now? Kupasaba, if we have some of the vines which have now gotten old and no longer produce any more fruit, so then not only we don't say these belong to the landowner because he owns the land, but we say the shasla can go and take half of this dead wood and dead vines and take it for himself. However, it was shot for nohar. This was totally unexpected. Says Rashi, next Rashi, shot for nohar. Ubo lechalik, and they want to go and split up the etzim. Havaliki shasla. He has the same din like we spoke about before, the shasla. He's leaving early. He only gets a river. He only gets a quarter. Shaila with a quarter is a sixth, and not a sixth. But he only gets a quarter. He doesn't get the full half. What's the reason why? Anytime you have a flood, you don't know what the after effects are going to be. Could be the flood will be oikrin legami. They might even uproot the vines entirely. Or it might be nishazagifelech, a flood, just a mid-level flood, which only causes the land to go, unfortunately, to be mukhush, to be depleted for a while, and it won't grow for the next couple of years. But imagine after that, it'll grow back again, etc. So, shotfenor is a totally unexpected situation. Kupasaba is something that happens on a regular basis, and therefore when the shasla went into the property and agreed to the half, he agreed to take half of any dried out vines that don't produce. But in terms of a flood, which is totally unexpected, it's as if he left Bloizmane and he gets a quarter. Okay. So Gavra the Mishkin Pardes l'chavre, a person gave a mashkin of its pardes to a chaver. What means a mashkin? A person borrowed money, and the person said, how are you going to pay me back? I'm going to give you a mashkin, my pardes. Pardes is an orchard. We've had a number of times that orchards often are related to rimonim, but presumably it could be related to other fruits as well. Anyway, and he told him, it's one of those mashkin denachyosa that we've had earlier on, like mashkanta de surah, that you're going to be able to, every single year, you, the malva, will be able to go and use the fruit to amortize the loan. So if the loan, Lamusha, was a loan of $1,000, you could hold on to the property for 10 years, and every year you'll get the value of the payers, which we assess to be roughly $100, 10 times 100 is 1,000. After 10 years are over, you give the property back to the mother. Oh, to the life. So we gave the Mishkin Pardes Lechavre, he gave his a Mashkin and Pardes to his Chavre, Le'esr Shnin, for 10 years, it was one of these 10-year amortizations, the Kosh Lechomishnin, but unfortunately, all or part of it got old after 5 years. And as we'll see in the Gemara, this was also expected because a Pardes doesn't last forever. So even though he gave it to him for 10 years, he knew it's very possible that in 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, it's going to die. And in fact, it died after 5 years. Kosh means that it became hard and dried out, hard like a rock. So Abaye Omar Peirahava. So Abaye says, this is now the produce of this land, and since the Malv is entitled to the produce to amortize the loan, you know how we're going to amortize? We're going to go and sell the dead trees and the dead Eitzim, whatever that's going to produce, we're going to use that as payers to go and pay down on the loan which the Malv is holding this property for. Moreover, Omar no Karna Hava. No, this is part of the land itself. This is not payrois, it's the trees themselves, it's Karen. So what we're going to have to do is sell Taka these dead trees and get the money, and I'm going to buy a new piece of karka, so we'll give it to the malva to be able to go and use those for the next 5 years. So we have a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. What's the status of these payers? Is it payra or is it karka?
But what about the value of the loan? I mean, if only half the loan's been amortized by the income from these fruits,
mm-hmm.
and now it's interrupted,
mm-hmm.
how is the loan going to be paid back in full? There's going to be a shortfall.
The Gemara doesn't go into those details, but the assumption is he'll have the land for another 3 years or 5 years or whatever.
Extend the maturity. Okay.
Exactly. Or he'll have to pay him at the end of the 10 years, whatever shortfall.
Okay.
Again, the Gemara doesn't go into those details. If Frank Gemara Meisve, let me ask you a kasha. We have Machlokes Zabaye, Verov is a Peira Hava or Karna Hava. Yovish Ilon, Oy Niktzat, Yovish Ilon, or Niktzat was cut down. Shneim Asurim Boy. Both of them are Osir. Now, what means both of them are Osir? Both the Malve and the Loive. The Malve because of the fact that it's not his property, it belongs to the Loive. But the Loive can't do it because he gave his Mashkin to the Malve. So what do we do? Ketzid Yasu. Yem Krula Eitzim, go and take the dried out dead Elon or the cut trees. Take that out. Yemachula Eitzim, Yechlem and Karkav, Oichle Peris. Ah, that's what it says in the Brice. So now the Gemara says, "My love, Yavish to me Niktzat." Since we're giving two cases, Yavish and Niktzat in the same breath, Ma Niktzat v'Zmanoi. Presumably, they didn't cut it prematurely; they cut it when they felt that was the right time to go and cut the tree. Af Yavish v'Zmanoi. That's the unfortunately, your old trees after a while eventually dry out and it died. Uktani Yukav and Karkav Voichel Peiris. Excuse me. Al Makarna have it, and just like Rava said, it's Karna and not Abaye. Because according to Abaye, if you're talking about that it's a Mashkin, then Yovish Ilan take the money and hand it all over to the Malva to reduce and amortize the loan. Al-Makarna have like Rava. Everything more loy. You started off with a supposition that it's Yovish to me the Niktatz. No, it's Niktatz to me the Yovish. My Yovish Blaze Manai, this is totally unexpected. He didn't expect that these trees are going to die so prematurely. Normally they life of this type of tree is quite 25 years, and it died after 10 years. I can't believe it. It's my Yavish Belay's money, I've Nixus Belay's money. And the whole machlik between Abaye and Rava was something that was expected, not something that was unexpected, because this is part of the mashkin, and they realized that after a period of time, that some of the trees, perhaps all of the trees, are going to die. So what was the original deal? What's the status? Peira or Karna? But that's all if it's Bismanai. If you're talking about Belay's money, then everybody would agree to Rava's cheshmen, go and sell it and take it. It's karna have and sell it and take the money and buy a new piece of property for the malam. Toshiba, noflu lo gefanim v'zeisim zekeinim. This is talking about a couple where the wife, after they were married, her father passed away and left a Yerusha now for her. And since it's nechsi malug, the husband's going to get the benefit. So noflu lo gefanim v'zeisim. Parshat pshat zekeinim means that when she already received it, they were already old and presumably dried out, what happens now? Yimachru le'etzim, go and sell these dried out vines and these dried out trees. Oh, so what do I see? Once again, like Rava said, that it has a din of karna, not peira, and you can buy karka, boy, can pay this. It's a shver rabbi. Every more aim of his kinu. This kinu, says Rashi on the second line, kofza halein zikna below his manan. We're always mispal, al tashli chenili e zikna. After all, we all want to get old. We don't want to, chas v'sholem, you know, pass away prematurely. But al tashli chenili e zikna, we want to, Kodesh Baruch Hu, send us into zikna as the time comes. Don't, when we're 20 years old, we don't want to feel like we're 60 or 70. When we're 70, we don't want to feel like we're 150. We want to feel our normal age bracket. So here, v'iskinu koftzaleim zikna b'leizmanan. He had a kvitza zikna, which was totally unexpected. Oh, unexpected, we said already, more on the Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud Beis, that this whole machloik between Abaye v'Rav is only if it's normal, it's bizmanai. But shulik bizmanai, everybody agrees to Rav that it's karna v'yilkot v'ykark. Don't you remember when we learned this Gemara originally back in the Sechtes Ksuvis, when we dealt with it at that time, we said it's talking about that when the father passed away, he didn't own land, he only owned trees as part of orchards in various lands. In other words, he was a partial owner, if you will, in that the landowner owned the land, and he owned the trees, and he only owned the trees as long as they are still growing. Once they're dead, they're dead. In those circumstances, if you're going to go and take the trees and sell them all and give all the money to a buyer, and give, like a buyer said, they're all paid her, then there's not going to be anything left for the wife. Since we want her to have her nechsim aluk, after all, the husband only has the right to the payers, he doesn't have the right to the keren itself. Under those circumstances, since the entire keren, bakal mikol kol, are those trees, even though they've dried out, if we're going to go and sell them and use them to amortize, here we're not amortizing alone, but to go and give them
payers. Hand it over to the husband.
Hand over to the husband, and the wife will with nothing. And therefore, under those circumstances, everybody would agree, we're going to go and sell the trees, buy a piece of karka, she'll own the karka, and he will go and get the payers. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zatke ben Zatke Zin.